on the Davidson Sports Network. The Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, performance is a constant. Pepsi, born in the Carolinas. First Citizens Bank, forever first. Atrium Health, the best for the Carolinas. And by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Latch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside John Belk Arena, the Baker Sports Complex. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College, alongside head coach Bob McKillop. I'm Jared Latch as we welcome you to our first of many episodes in what has been a year like no other, dating back to March 11th inside the hotel in Brooklyn when the world started its journey to flipping upside down. And coach, you've referenced on many occasions the events that led to leaving Brooklyn back in March up to the arrival of the start of this season. Curious to begin with this specifically, and we'll dive into the team a little bit later, but our Wildcat basketball fans are such a tight-knit group with a really strong bond and connection to each other and the program. How much has their presence been missed so far this season?
Incredibly eerie for us, and a strange experience to play in Belk Arena with no fans. They have always been such a pivotal part of our success, of our experience, of our joy. Seeing them come back time after time, year after year, with faces of happiness and voices cheering us on. It's a very eerie feeling not to have them there. But I do say this, their spirit is with us. We feel that. Many fans have reached out to our players, to our staff, and voicing their support, demonstrating their consistent loyalty to Davidson basketball. So in their absence, we do feel their spirit.
And looking back on the Maui Asheville experience, unique environment, significant protocols, which you talked about. You used the word solitude. That'll stand out in my mind. And you were part of three different game situations, which created a lot of quality teaching opportunities. Maui, in any given year, one of the premier events to be a part of in a small, intimate venue there. Take us back to Asheville for a few moments.
Well, hats off to Dave Odom and his group who orchestrate the Maui event every year. They were fantastic in the way they logistically planned it, created a contingency plan of having it in Asheville. And of course, we have such fond feelings and memories of Asheville. It's always been a very special place to Davidson basketball. The arena, we'd been in there many times. Some of the ghosts of previous years, very evident as we walked into the locker room and looked into the stands. Remarkable experience because we played Texas, Providence, and Nevada Las Vegas, three uniquely different programs in the way they run their system. Three programs who have a historical tradition of greatness. And I thought that we represented ourselves very, very well. Both losses coming with an opportunity to win with outstanding, superb execution by our team in the late game situation. And then, of course, coming back from two very emotionally difficult losses to get a victory over Nevada Las Vegas in the third game. Many of the experiences that we had in Asheville are the same kind of experiences that we would have normally in the Tennessee scrimmage and in the exhibition game. I particularly want to reference the Tennessee scrimmage because that is something that has always been part of our tradition here. First, it was at the University of Texas in Austin when Rick Barnes was the head coach there. Then it was moved to Tennessee when he moved as the head coach to the University of Tennessee. And we played two games usually, morning, afternoon. We went through a variety of late-game experiences, zones, man-to-man, every kind of imaginable experience we face in the season. We try to incorporate that in those two scrimmages that we would have both for Rick and for ourselves. And it seemed as if Asheville was that experience. You know, when you have that scrimmage, you're not allowed to have fans. Well, there it was, no fans. And the big difference was the score was recorded. It goes into your record permanently. And The lessons that we learned, though, are ones that we can certainly carry forward for the rest of the season.
And, Coach, we look ahead a couple games later. You take on Charlotte here at home, battle for the Hornets Nest Trophy game. You're coming off a hot shooting effort against Georgia Southern. Team hit 17 three-pointers that night. What were some of the things that went wrong against the 49ers?
I think the biggest problem we had there was the success we had against Georgia Southern with the three-point shot, 17 threes in that game. And we came out in Charlotte, and first two shots we take were threes, and we made them, and they were great shots. And we got a number of great shots. We really did get terrific looks at the basket, but we missed them. And we had not had that experience of having to respond to a missed three-pointer after having made so many of them in the previous game. And I think that was an emotional shot through our heart in the way we responded defensively. And playing on our heels defensively and with the system that Charlotte has in which they can continually work the ball, make their movements, run their actions, they find some kind of leakage, some kind of crack in our defense, and 8 seconds to go in the shot clock, they're either getting to the basket or they're getting to the foul line. So I think being on our heels because we missed shots was a pivotal part of that particular game.
In one of those games like that, Coach, we already talked about the crowd a little bit. When you're trying to manufacture momentum, you're in a game like that where you're trying to push through, down by 2 points a few different times. Is that when the crowd really hurts?
Yeah, that's when the absence of the crowd, you have a home game against Charlotte, and you know what kind of crowd you're going to have, and that's going to be very uplifting. And they often say that the crowd is worth 10 points. And there were numerous occasions in that Charlotte game where we were a basket or two away from tying it and maybe swinging the momentum in our favor, and we just didn't get over the hump, over the edge, and the crowd would have certainly been a significant factor in helping us do that.
Well, that's how you started the week. You ended it well. You go to Rhode Island, first Atlantic 10 game of the year. You get a big performance from Carter. Kellen locks down on Fats Russell, and Bates gives you a great effort, a tremendous effort off the bench.
I thought the entire roster from top to bottom played their role superbly. Kellen, superb as a defender and handling the ball and running our system. Carter making big shots and making big plays at big moments. Lee doing the same thing. I thought Luca had some terrific plays, that offensive rebound on the missed foul shot, and the three-point dagger that I think was hit by Lee in that situation, won by Carter. Those are plays that certainly are going to be very memorable as we go through this season. But the silent statistics that showed up from things that Sam did, things that Dave Bates did, that Dave Christensen did, that Nelson did, that Grant did. I mean, those things, they're not going to show up in the stat sheet, but if you look at the plus-minus, Mike Jones and Bates and Nelson and Grant had significant plus-minus in the short time that they were in the game.
And that's going to take us into our first break. When we come back, we will continue the discussion with Coach. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop, back with you. And Coach, of all years, I'm going to step out and say this is likely the most challenging for an incoming freshman class or freshman to enter a program as a scholar athlete. Walk us through the development and expectations for your three freshmen and Sam, Grant, and Emery.
You know, they were a bit shortchanged in their summer experience. Normally coming in early June, working camp, being part of the pickup games, being part of the individual instruction, being part of the weight training. So they did not have that full experience. They had a very brief representation of that, but certainly not what most freshmen will receive. And then they come to school and they're daily challenged by protocols. They're daily challenged by the way practice first began, limitations in numbers, limitations in interaction. So it's been something that requires tremendous discipline, tremendous decision-making, and tremendous attention to details. And they haven't been afforded that luxury of getting it in a normal teaching environment. And now they've been here since late August. I think that is really an emotional stress upon our whole team, particularly freshmen who have been away from home for the first time. Fortunately, they'll get an opportunity to go home at Christmas on December 23rd, except Sam will not. But Grant and Emery, they have been here without having one break from any responsibility. And then we've been clustered and cloistered together as a team. And I think we all know this, what is happening. Families are becoming closer, but sometimes they wear on each other. You're constantly having to repeat almost like Groundhog Day. And it's emotionally and mentally challenging. And these guys, Grant and Emery and Sam, have handled it marvelously. And I give tremendous credit to our captains, our leaders, our veterans, but also to our assistant coaches, to Matt and Will and Brian and Josh and Kevin. The way they have cultivated and nurtured relationships far above and beyond what they would normally have as a player-coach relationship.
And that's a good transition, Coach, to the next thing I was going to ask you. When the question has been posed to you about what have the positives been, how has things changed, you always have said communication has been paramount. Do you think that's going to change any way going forward, the way you communicate, even with recruits, given the international nature of your program?
You know, the communication that has occurred between our team began last March when we embraced the whole theory of Zoom calls and did it on a weekly basis and stayed in touch with text chains and email chains. So that began for our team in March when we challenged them with that, and they fully engaged themselves in making sure that that became a positive. And we saw that happen throughout the fall, that the communication was a pivotal part of our development and growth as a team. Now, in terms of recruiting, it's a remarkably different environment now. We cannot go out on the road to recruit. We can't sit in an arena and watch a particular player. We can't sit in his home, go to his school, engage him in an official visit. So all of that interaction that had normally occurred where we were exposed to the recruit was exposed to us, questions were answered, and a sense of comfort developed and the sense of fit, which is such a big, big aspect of any student-athlete, scholar-athlete that comes to Davidson, that was not allowed to happen because of the personal interaction. So then it invited Zoom calls and creativity. And again, I turn to our assistant coaches and the way they use creative means and methods to engage recruits and their families and their high school coaches in such a way that it was as if we were walking into their living room. And it was as if they were walking onto our campus. It was as if they were in a team room meeting with our players. It was as if they were in a locker room watching the video of us in a game. So remarkable ability that our assistant coaches showed in trying to short circuit that lack of ability to get to know recruits. And I think we've really advanced ourselves very well in the recruiting process for this year.
Now, support systems are critical every year, from healthcare, trainers, nutrition. This year, and well, I guess not just this year, but mental health and well-being, how much of all those things had to be amplified now in terms of their importance with everything else and all the rest of the noise that's in play?
Well, I'll give big shining stars and shout-outs to Chris Clooney and Carol Quillen. Carol, that she has authorized for this to happen. Chris, that he has enacted all of these support opportunities to happen. And then, of course, all the people that work under Chris and Carol in the athletic department who have made sure these things happen, whether it's Justin King, our trainer, or whether it's Dr. Lutz, or whether it's Scott Applegate, whoever it might be. There has been an army of supporters engaged fully in implementing a support system for scholar athletes here that is absolutely extraordinary. And I think Davidson College can be a model of excellence for what has happened during this first semester in terms of the way we've wrestled with the challenge, the way we've adapted to the challenge, and the way we have clearly grown from the challenge. This will be a memory that will be forever etched in their mind, but one that they can feel very, very good that they were a part of something as successful as this was during his first semester.
One of the other challenges, Coach, this year was scheduling. You had to wait, other teams shifting things around. Do you think some of that adaptability that you guys had to face is something that might come into play in future seasons, or do you think we get back to normal in terms of scheduling?
I'm not certain that we'll have the same erratic nature to scheduling where you could lose a game on one day and then 2 days later you pick up another opponent. I just don't think that that's in the cards for the future. But I can tell you this, Matt McKillop had many, many, many sleepless nights trying to sort through all the complications and challenges of scheduling. And look at the one we finally came about, came upon us, the one we have right now, which I think is really challenging, answers our needs in terms of preparing us for conference play. And, you know, give Matt credit for the work he did to make this happen. Playing Vanderbilt at home tomorrow night. There was even that possibility we were going to play Vanderbilt tonight and Loyola Chicago, who owes us a game on Wednesday, but we couldn't work that wrinkle out in the last minute. But nevertheless, our schedule to date has been very, very exciting and very, very challenging, but very, very detailed and organized, thanks to Matt.
Time for another quick break. When we return, we'll look ahead at that game that Coach talked about the upcoming week, preview the Wildcats and Vanderbilt tomorrow inside Belk Arena. Before a brief break for the Christmas holiday, the Bob McKillop Show rolls on, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch alongside head coach Bob McKillop, head coach of the Wildcats. And it's time to take a look ahead at our next opponent, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Coach, Vandy is a familiar opponent as you played them last year in Nashville. You also get a chance to watch some film on what they did against a common foe and the Richmond Spiders earlier this month. What style of play can we expect to see from this Commodores team?
They are a very aggressive attacking team. They will force the ball baseline defensively. They'll trap numerous situations. They'll deny. Chest cutters, they'll do everything physically possible to stop you defensively. They're in the same attack mode offensively. You look at their numbers and they're out-rebounding their opponents almost by 12 rebounds per game, almost doubling the offensive rebound output of the opponent. They're getting to the foul line at an extraordinary number of occasions as they've shot twice as many free throws as the opponent, and they're capitalizing on it. They're making 83% of their foul shots, which has to be in the top five in the country. So you're going to see an aggressive attacking team, and of course the catalyst for that is the terrific sophomore guard, Scottie Pippen Jr.
And so when you look at personnel, you mentioned Pippen Jr. Who else should Wildcats fans, whether they're tuning in or listening in tomorrow, who should they be aware of?
Well, the second leading scorer is Dylan Disu, who is another outstanding sophomore and had a great game against us last year. But then you look down their roster, and they have 11 guys who played double-digit minutes so far this year. Most teams have 7 or 8 guys, sometimes 9. They have 11. So they have an arsenal of people that they can throw in our direction.
And, Coach, your early keys. You still have time to prep for this game, final stages. What are the keys to this one tomorrow night?
Well, if you're looking at offense, we have got to run our offense efficiently. We cannot be forced into dribbles, be forced into passes. We have to be in control. And then we have to make our cuts, set our screens, and move the ball quickly. The big key for us offensively, whether it's Vanderbilt or anybody, is moving the spotlight. And we have termed the basketball as the spotlight. When you hold the spotlight in your hand, it's going to burn your hands. When you move the spotlight around, your hands don't get burned, plus everyone gets under the spotlight. And as a result, we've crafted our offense to fit that design, so the ball has to move quickly. Defensively, we're going to have to be a team of defenders, and I thought we did some superb actions against Rhode Island and with Fats Russell, who's another outstanding guard, in making us close cracks. When there's a crack open, you can get through, and when you get through, you're exposed, and sometimes it leads to a 3-on-2, 2-on-1 situation. So we term a crack in our defense to be like opening a door or opening a window or opening a gate. So we want all of our gates closed, windows locked, and doors locked.
Well, Coach, thank you for your time this afternoon. Happy holidays to you, your family, staff, players, the Wildcat family across the world. Final thought from you.
Well, you know, this is a time of year in which I think the country, the world is anxiously awaiting Christmas, but even more anxiously awaiting the end of this year, thinking that it's going to come to a new dawn after this very challenging year. This has made us human beings of a different sort, and I'm convinced that it's an experience that many people have grown from, and many families have grown from, and we got to continue to look forward to handling the challenge of this, and I hope we do take the time to celebrate family and to celebrate life at Christmas time. And I certainly wish I could say this personally to so many of our fans and so many of our alums, a merry and a blessed Christmas to all of you.
Well said, Coach. And we're going to take our final break and wrap up the show with the broadcast details for tomorrow night's game. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back. We want to remind you to join us for our next game broadcast tomorrow, Tuesday, December 22nd, 6:45 Eastern Time on the Davidson Radio Network as the Wildcats return to Belk Arena to host the Vanderbilt Commodores. And if you're watching on ESPN Plus tomorrow, be sure to come over to the radio postgame to hear exclusive interviews with head coach and players. That's all powered by Ortho Carolina. We talked about tomorrow night, but following tomorrow night, the schedule does not get any easier. On the 30th, the Wildcats will host Richmond at home, and then that Atlantic 10 schedule continues right in the new year, right away, January 2nd, a game on the road at VCU at 2:30. And our next coaches show is going to be coming your way on Monday, January 4th, as we begin our weekly schedule throughout the remainder of A-10 play. For Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Latch. Have a great rest of your day. Happy holidays, and until tomorrow night, so long for now from Davidson.
On the Davidson Sports Network, this has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, innovative strategies and solutions. Pepsi, born in the Carolinas. First Citizens Bank, forever first. Atrium Health, the best for the Carolinas. And by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.